Good evening, and welcome to the Stabilo Group's first half 2017 results. This call may contain forward-looking statements relating to future events and operating, economic, and financial results for the Stabilo Group. Such forecasts, due to their nature, imply a component of a risk and uncertainty due to the fact that they depend on the occurrence of certain future events and developments. The actual results may therefore vary, even significantly, to those announced in relation to multitude of factors. Today's participants are Luisa Delgado, Chief Executive Officer, Gerd Graehsler, Chief Financial Officer, Barbara Ferrante, Director of Investor Relations. I will now pass the call over to Ms. Luisa Delgado, Chief Executive Officer. Ms. Delgado, you may begin.
Good evening, and thank you for attending today's call on Stabilo's first half 2017 results. Our group net sales totaled 315.3 million euro in quarter two, recording a decline of 9.8% at current exchange rates and 10.6% at constant exchange rates, thus taking our first half total net sales to 552.6 million euro, down 15.1% at current exchange rates and 16.2% at constant exchange rates over the same period of last year. The second quarter adjusted EBITDA reached 34 million euro, posting an increase of 2.9% compared to quarter two last year, taking the adjusted EBITDA of the first six months of the year to 27.8 million euros, down 52.3% over the same period of last year. The group net result in the first semester equaled a loss of 6.6 million euros, while the group net debt at the end of June remained pretty much in line with the position reported at the end of March, and it was equal to 112.7 million euro, 9.6% higher than the net debt in June 2016. These first six months results, in terms of net sales and adjusted economic results, reflect two very different quarters. While I remind you about what happened in quarter one, I would like to give you the key drivers that explain our performance in the second quarter. We have discussed the challenge that we faced in the implementation in January 2017 of the new order-to-cash IT system in the Padova distribution center, and how this impacted a large part of the group's worldwide sales order fulfillment in the first quarter, hurting our top and bottom line. During quarter two, we delivered on our commitment to restore normal working conditions and service levels in the Padova global distribution center and to recover our back orders. I want to thank our customers for their trust and patience over these months, and all Stabilo employees for their committed work and dedication to close this chapter. In the process of recovery, we have also started to establish new standards for better customer service now going forward. What we have seen in quarter two, thus, is that our going forward portfolio sales and our group operating results returned to growth, driven by the very positive contribution of our own core brands performance, thanks to the continued strong results of Smith, the significant recovery of Polaroid, thanks to its new product collections and campaigns, and the progress that we are making in the turnaround of Carrera. Our own core brands turned thus substantially flat in the first six months of the year compared to the same period of last year. In the quarter, our licensed brand portfolio was positive with regards to the majority of our core brands, driven by the strong performance of Jimmy Choo, Max Mara, Tommy Hilfiger, Givenchy, BOSS, while Dior had a tough first half comps coming from a stellar growth in the first half of last year. As far as our markets and regions are concerned, our going forward brand portfolio was in the quarter very strong in a majority of our emerging markets, Central Eastern Europe, India, Middle East and Africa, and China, taking their performance in the first half either back to growth or in line with last year. Although Western Europe posted a significant recovery in quarter two, more meaningful as achieved compared to the double-digit growth we posted in the region in the same period of last year. It is, though, in Western Europe where the gap accumulated during quarter one was most difficult to recover as order intake slowed during quarter two. Finally, on North America wholesale sales, we saw our sales decline in quarter two, affected by a combination of the weaker market dynamics in the department store channel and the impact of the renewed strategic direction that we're driving in the market for solid commercial partnerships with independent opticians. At the operating level, we continue to make good progress with the implementation of our cost savings programs and overhead productivity plans, and this had a positive impact on our quarterly operating performance. A final comment, as you all well know, 2017 is the first year without the Gucci license, and the first half year results thus reflect the exit of the Gucci license closed at the end of December last year. In January 2017, the strategic product partnership agreement with Kering Eyewear started for the product development, manufacturing, and supply of Gucci eyewear. What we see, therefore, in the first half results is the combination of the exit of the Gucci license sales and profit with the new SPPA volume in terms of related sales and profit, and as relates to profit, the accounting effect of the Kering compensation payments. I leave now the word to Gert for the additional details on our results and will then come back thereafter for some additional considerations before we take your questions as usual.
Thank you, Louisa. To recap our total reported business performance by geographical area at constant exchange rates, our Q2 total sales in Europe were up 3.3%, North America was down 20.8%, Asia Pacific declined 44.6%, while the rest of the world was almost flat at minus 1.6%. The reported performance is the result of the growth of our going forward brands that we will discuss in a moment in the next slide, and of the net decline of the Gucci business behind the exit of the license and its replacements with the SPPA revenues. On this specific front, our assumption of the SPPA recovering one-third of the sales recorded last year with the Gucci license remains intact. Moving to the sales performance of our going forward brands, overall the portfolio grew in the second quarter by 1.2% at constant exchange rates, or 2% excluding the retail business, taking the performance in the first semester to a decline of 6.3% or 5.7% when excluding retail. As a reminder, Q1 going forward sales had dropped 14.5% at the wholesale level. Focusing on what happened by region in the second quarter, sales of our going forward brands were up 6.9% in Europe, a region which had grown 18.6% in the second quarter of last year. As previously said, the recovery was broad-based, performed by most of our important markets in the area, and in particular by the North Europe region, which comprises the UK and the Nordic countries, and by Central and Eastern Europe. As said, North America wholesale business was weak in Q2, down 7.3% at constant exchange rates, and reflecting the combination of a challenging market environment with specific reference to the market difficulties encountered by department stores and some soft trading at the independent optician level in certain key geographies where we are now renewing commercial policies, plans and capabilities, always with the objective to ensure a solid business model and quality of sales. Most positive note of the period in North America was the continued strong performance of our sports channel, thanks to Smith's excellent growth in goggles and helmets, but also continued good growth in its e-commerce and eyewear portfolio. Solstice had a relatively better Q2, with sales declining 10.7% at constant exchange rates, while the same store sales performance of the 103 stores open at the end of the period was negative by 5.6%. On this front, we continue to work on our restructuring plan, rebalancing our brand and product portfolio, and improving our service levels. For the first time, outlet comps were flat versus year ago in the quarter, while full price store comps remained negative in high single digits. In Asia, our second quarter was slightly negative, down 3.8% with a somewhat mixed picture. On one side, in fact, our going forward brand sales reflected the weak business environment in some areas and the new distribution strategy we set at the beginning of the year in Korea. On the other hand, China showed good progress along with the improving performance we recorded with our distributors' business. I would like to remind you that our total business in Asia is this year overproportionately impacted by the exit of the Gucci license, which historically accounted for roughly half of our regional sales. Our going forward business in the rest of the world was indeed very strong, up 17.3% in Q2, thanks to the leading performance of our IMEA, so India, Middle East, and African countries, notably in line with last year in the 6 months, and the significant recovery posted also by Latin America, driven mainly by our business in Mexico. Moving to our industrial and operating performance, in the second quarter, gross profit margin moved from 60.2% of net sales to 54%, with the combined Gucci Kering SPPA-related impacts explaining about two-thirds of the total 620 basis points dilution. Just to remind you on this dynamic, this basically reflects the loss of a sizable high gross margin business, as the Gucci license was, and the entrance of the SPPA, which is dilutive at the gross margin level while accretive at the operating level. In Q2, the negative retail performance contributed some other 40 business points to the total contraction, while the rest of the result was down to the negative brand mix effect, as the volume growth recorded in the period by our going forward brands was driven by our mass cool and sport outdoor segments. In the first half, our gross profit margin stood at 52% of net sales compared to 60.6% in the same period of last year, a stronger dilution coming from Q1 due to the shortfall in sales order fulfillment we commented at the time. At the operating level, in the second quarter, we achieved an adjusted EBITDA of 34 million euros compared to 33.1 million in the same quarter of last year. The margin increased to 10.8% of net sales from 9.5%. The improvement was even more evident at the wholesale level, where the adjusted EBITDA equaled 35 million euros, up 10.1% compared to 31.8 million recorded in Q2 of 2016, and the adjusted margin increased to 11.9% of sales from 9.7%. As in the first quarter, and in line with our expectations and indications at the operating level, the margin we earned with the SPPA business, coupled with the accounting of the Kering compensation, which was equal to 10.8 million euros in the quarter and 21.5 million euros in the first half, fully covered the lost earnings of the Gucci license. So at the EBITDA level, these two opposite effects continue to offset each other. The retail performance had a negative impact of some 80 basis points to the total group adjusted EBITDA margin, while around 200 basis point improvement was explained by the going forward wholesale business performance, achieved thanks to the profit protection actions we took in terms of cost savings and the continued progress on our overheads productivity plan. In the quarter, the latter allowed us to effectively counterbalance the additional costs we incurred to recover normal operations at the Padua distribution center. In the first semester, the adjusted EBITDA equaled 27.8 million euros, down from 58.3 million euros in half one of 2016, while the margin was 5% of net sales, down from 8.9% in half one of 2016. The adjusted EBITDA of the wholesale business equaled 32.8 million compared to 59 million, and the wholesale margin was 6.3% of sales compared to 9.6%. Below the operating line, very briefly on our total net financial charges, these were equal to 7.3 million euros compared to a positive impact of 0.8 million we had in the first semester of 16. This year, we had the negative impact of the net exchange rate differences for 2 million euros, which was positive 3.8 million in half one of 16, while together net interest charges and other net financial charges decreased 8%. In the first half, the impact of the fair value valuation of the option component embedded in the equity-linked bond was positive for 400,000 euros compared to 3.3 million in the first half of 2016. Overall, the group adjusted net result equaled a loss of 6.6 million in the semester compared to the adjusted net positive result of 22.9 million recorded last year. Commenting on our free cash flow for the semester, this was negative for $57.2 million compared to a negative flow of $9.3 million in half one of 2016. Due to the negative economic performance of the period and the cash absorption at the working capital level, mainly due to the decrease of trade payables. This is mainly a consequence of the exit of the Gucci license and more generally of our pursued cost discipline. As you can imagine, the second quarter was also hit by a significant drop in cash collection due to the lower Q1 invoicing, while the stronger Q2 invoicing is for collection primarily in future months. In the first half of 17, cash flow for investing activities was 20.8 million euros, driven by the investments in the supply network and in information technology, substantially stable compared to the investments done last year. Group net debt at the end of June stood at 112.7 million euros, substantially in line with the position recorded at the end of March of 111.3 million, thus remaining significantly above the level reached at the end of December last year of 48.4 million. Like in March, the financial leverage in June stood at 1.9 times EBITDA. I hand it back over to Luisa for her further considerations.
Thank you, Gert. As usual, I would also today like to discuss selected areas of progress on our choices that underline the corporate transformation and strategic renewal that we initiated in 2014. Specifically today, I focus on go-to-market actions for quality of sales, our progress in further balancing our multi-segment brands portfolio, and our continuous focus on innovation today as regards digital. On the first one, recall that in 2014 we made a public commitment to the eyewear industry and our retail partners in particular to start as a corporation standing for quality of sales and distribution, in addition to strengthening our historical industry lead in quality of product and design. Our intent was to deliberately make quality of sales and higher standards of commercial operation and partnership based on choice an overt and recognized competitive advantage for Safilo. Quality of sales means clear distribution strategies that uphold the prestige of every brand, focus on sell-out, not mere sell-in, transparent commercial terms based on performance investments, collaboration built on trust, and a long-term win-win philosophy with our partners, based on the fundamental concept of choice, not imposition. These, we believe, are the keys to preferred customer partnership and overall an opportunity for our whole industry. Today, we can say that we have progressed on this road significantly, particularly as regards differentiated distribution strategies per segment, each of our five segments in particular, key account management for chains and global channels, and individually tailored partnership propositions with the independents, the global channel management of duty-free, and special engagement with department stores, supported also by our category management community building system SMILE, and leading in-store excellence based on our first-class material and trade marketing projects. As you know, we reset our commercial foundations in both APAC and China, requalifying distribution channels and establishing commercial practices that today we see are sustainable. More recently, we have started in North America with a first phase of commercial transformation, structuring our business partnerships with published, solid commercial policies and trade terms, investing behind sell-out performance drivers, engaging with key alliances and buying groups, and qualifying our commercial engagements with our independent opticians. The changes that we have implemented have held us back in a first step during this semester, along with, in some cases, further regeneration and upgrade of our sales force capabilities to align them more closely with our brand portfolio of today and our priorities to win with it. Our emerging markets, also beyond Asia, have been key in this commercial reinvention. We organized the emerging markets along five regions: APAC, China, IMEA, CEE, and Latin America. Within those, we opened new subsidiaries in Dubai, in Turkey. We made Russia, India, and now China key corporate focus markets, and built a global partner network of just above 50 partners worldwide who represent us in exclusive markets. Part of this global partner network was, for example, Safilo's last year's entry into Argentina, this year's into Iran, and our recent new and exclusive partner agreement for Saudi Arabia. What characterizes our global partner network is local, extraordinary excellent capability in the industry, brand stewardship, distribution capability and network, and in-store marketing and training founded on shared values and joint commitment to develop the assigned market through our strategic portfolio choices, including focus on own core brands and optical category development. This network in this formation is very new and an important way for us to accelerate the full potential of emerging market growth worldwide. We will continue this systemic development of our global partner network across those world's markets where we have decided not to establish ourselves directly or only to handle a few selected key accounts. Two words on the renewal of our licensing agreement with JCPenney for the Liz Claiborne and Claiborne brands. We continue to offer in our portfolio U.S. optical brands that address comfort and fit for unique consumer needs and are thus highly regarded by our retail partners and the ECPs in the U.S. Such brands deliver stable and healthy business that is particularly targeted at our 3O's channel of independent ECPs. They also reflect our renewed optical strategy as we are seeking to balance the optical and the sun categories in the Safilo business more closely reflecting the respective worldwide market sizes. Finally, we are progressing with our digital strategy. As part of that, we're embracing innovative and integrated social PR and media and in-store campaigns to fuel omnichannel growth. Our own core brands are the leading actors of everything we're doing on this fast-evolving front. In this second quarter, we initiated a very significant agile publishing partnership with Hearst, the leading publishing powerhouse, which includes titles and dot-coms like Esquire, Elle, Cosmopolitan, Town & Country, Popular Mechanics, and others. This covering Carrera and Smith in the USA and North America. This partnership is about building content-driven programs where dedicated editorial teams leverage storytelling and omnichannel tools to build excitement and engagement around the eyewear category and our brands, gaining and building relevance for consumers. These multi-platform and multi-channel campaigns kicked off in late May will run through fall and are fueling sales across channels, in particular in our own e-commerce on Smith, and with partners of choice on Carrera, namely Nordstrom.com. May was also the month in which we went on air with a quite extraordinary worldwide Instagram activity, leading in eyewear with Polaroid eyewear. This influencer activation, reaching over 15 million people, was part of the Polaroid Global Hero campaign focused on the story of the visionary founder of Polaroid, Edwin Land, and it had the objective to drive brand awareness, brand consideration, category familiarity, and sellout through partnerships with key customers. In this very case, Polaroid teamed up with Relatable, an influencer agency that managed a relationship with more than 250 influencers who all were simultaneously involved in the campaign. We then seeded products of the January 17 collection for the influencers to develop unique branded contents. We executed the campaign with a carousel format on Instagram, having first a lifestyle shot, then the trailer of the short movie, third a product image, and lastly, call to action image to key customers. Images were tagged with customers' Instagram accounts, driving people and to a customer e-commerce site. Finally, some perspective on e-commerce. clearly an integral part of a truly successful omnichannel strategy, we are increasing our focus on investments on e-commerce, not just B2C that I want to comment on in a minute, but also B2B2C and B2B, where we see increasing business opportunities too. We are in fact partnering with customers like Mr. Spex, Bloomingdale's, Zalando, Nordstrom, Amazon, Opticanet, CongasDeSol.com and SmartByGlasses.com as key examples to drive online sales with joint business and marketing plans. Our UK market is truly a best practice in this respect, and its strategy to catch, connect and convert our consumers has, for example, propelled Polaroid to the number one brand for Myoptique Group in 2016, continuing to do very well also this year. We're also increasingly active in B2B e-commerce, with now just over 5,500 wholesale customers connected to our new platform to order products and download marketing content. This platform granted us the sixth edition of the Netcom e-commerce award for the best Italian B2B. We're now getting ready to accelerate B2C, already a strong and growing business for Smith in North America, while we prepare its launch in Europe and get ready for Polaroid and Carrera B2C platforms as part of their multi-platform and future multi-channel go-to-market. My final comment on the second half of the year. Our first obvious key objective is to recover the good growth pace of order taking. We are confident because of our excellent new fall-winter collections and go-to-market campaigns. We have several special initiatives this fall. One is the launch of our completely restaged Safilo optical collection, a turning point in our strategic refocus on the optical business, combining our technical products, our fair, and leading Italian design. For Smith, we will lead the continuation of the very strong first half results, and now actually launch by our e-commerce smith.com in October the new wearable technology glasses that we presented in Las Vegas at CES earlier this year. It's called Smith X, Brainwave Sensing, Low-Down Focus. For Polaroid, we are focused on the strong execution of our renewed Polaroid product plans, with particularly special highlights in brand building, India, Nordic, and Russia as some special highlights. Carrera will continue to ride the trend, building on its exceptional editorial reception and excellent collections, both sun and optical, of which we have seen responses already in the first half. The fall-winter advertising campaign is poised to spur our commercial activities across the globe and proceed and accelerate with Carrera's turnaround. On the licensed brand portfolio and in fashion luxury in particular, we are focused on Dior, Om and Optical, both categories offering opportunities for further growth, building on the brand's extraordinarily strong trend-setting role while offering also creative new avenues on sun ladies. Fendi's eyewear creativity is increasingly positioning itself alongside Jimmy Choo at the forefront of fashion luxury eyewear, while we're affirming the Atelier positioning of Elisab since its launch in January to build the brand's collection fast further, and proceeding with the growth of Max Mara through its product-centric, design-inspired, characteristic elegant eyewear. I also want to confirm that we will continue with discipline for the remainder of the year with our profit protection actions, including progress on the overhead productivity plan that we announced at the time. Simplification for enhanced productivity continues to be a key enabler, and among the different activities that are today contributing to our progress in this area is our recently launched iBuy program. This is a new platform for a more effective and efficient worldwide procurement of indirect goods and services. To close, and after all, we are about product at the heart of this company, and I'm pleased to say that our product collections continue to enjoy excellent market reception, editorially, by our customers, retailers, and by our consumers. We are today now particularly pleased to see that our own core brands are among the most well-received product collections with iconic designs instantly recognizable of the upcoming fall-winter 2017 season. This concludes our presentation, and we can now open the line for your questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal. There appears to be no questions in the queue at this time, but as a reminder, please press star 1. We will now take our first question from Domenico Gelotti from Equita. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I have a few questions. The first is related to the weak performance in North America wholesale. You had been mentioning in the previous call that basically the area had not been affected by the disruption, and so the trend was quite neutral from this issue. So I was surprised to see such a deterioration in the second quarter. The second question is related to your comments on the weaker order intake in Western Europe due to the distribution center disruption. I wonder if this is translating into a weaker outlook for the third quarter, so if you will suffer weak reorders given the weak order intake. Third, on your own core brands, you have been mentioning quite satisfactory results, but I wanted to check, so at the end, the performance in the first half was flattish, if I catch the indication. So what is preventing a better results from your own core brands? You sounded quite satisfied with the performance during the call. And last, on the cost-saving program, can we could you provide an indication of where you are today compared to the plan that you provided? So in the first semester, how much of your performance in terms of profitability has been supported by cost-saving action?
Okay. Good evening, Domenico. I'll comment on the four topics, and then I let Luisa obviously build on it. So the first question on North America, you are correct that in principle North America has not been impacted by the SAP issue. We operate in North America, when we now speak about wholesale, so retail aside, through four main channels. In these four channels, two of them have been performing very well, and that's the sports channel, which has continued to be strong in Q1, in Q2, thanks to a really excellent performance of Smith. And the second channel is the key accounts and chains, which historically has been quite an underdeveloped part of our business and which is continuing to grow very well. And then we have two channels where we have not so good results. The first one is not a surprise, I believe, because it is the department store channel. The market here is suffering quite a bit overall, so the whole retail is down, and we are declining here with the channel. And then last, the fourth channel, if you wish, which is also our biggest channel, is the independent opticians, where indeed we had a soft Q2. And that brought us to a soft half one. And so within that channel, we have something like 18, 20,000 customers. And I would say that a good majority of those customers are doing very well, in particular buying groups and strategic alliances and those. While our downside is limited to is coming behind a limited number of big volume sunglass customers. Here, of course, we are transitioning a bit our portfolio. Last year, we had a different constellation in the portfolio. This year, we don't have Gucci anymore, etc. So we are transitioning those accounts. We are focusing here on new commercial trade terms. As Luisa was mentioning, we are focusing on upgrading some of the capabilities, as we said. So we are a bit in the transition phase here, we expect to get over the hump in the second half of the year. Okay, on the second point, on the order intake in Western Europe, I would say, first of all, that our backorder recovery was concentrated in really the months of May and June. And so, of course, while we were shipping back orders to customers for orders that they had placed previously, we were registering a softer order intake in those months. I would expect that this trend will still somewhat affect July and August, because this is still part of the summer season, if you wish, or the spring-summer season. And we expect to be, let me say, fully back on track from September onwards, because then we start selling in the fall-winter collection and the next major set of news for the year that we feel pretty strong about. But we do expect, a bit of in these current 2 months, which are admittedly also seasonally some of the lower months of the year in terms of shipments.
May I ask you just a follow-up on this point? May I ask you what is the relation? So how is the relation with your key accounts and wholesale customers in Europe after the disruption? So do you think that you have recovered all the trust and normal relation starting from September, basically?
No, I don't think the current question is about trust. It is simply about the fact that once you get your implementation order for the new collection, the reorder rhythm, of course, takes a while, because you reorder after you are starting to sell out. So there's a natural time lag, which with late deliveries starts later and therefore takes a bit longer. I must say, and I made the point in our last earnings call about the trust and how important that was towards our customers and mutual trust, and as I thanked in the press release, I want to reconfirm our customers have truly shown how mutual win-win relationships that we have built up over years hold very solidly when something happens, as happened to us in the first half. So we believe that both the reception we have seen of our customers in buying days that are now starting for our new collections in our showrooms, reactions, engagement, also customers who place orders, you know, from now to 4 months out, the so-called made-to-order orders, we have seen extremely good engagement, trust, and continued ordering and work together. It is a fact that you don't reorder if your store is still full. And that is the time lag we're talking about. And in Western Europe, independent small customers, which are the majority of our customers, this takes a while, and therefore we see a knock-on effect into July, potentially August, which is the middle of summer anyway, and therefore are banking very much on our new fall collections to speak of. So that is the situation. It's almost mathematical in terms of timing.
Yeah, that's why I was asking, in the sense that July and August was not, let's say, an indication. So this was my understanding of the relation with your customer. It was just, let's say, the delay of reorders because of the late arrival of the previous say shipments, if I understood properly your...
That's correct, yes.
Okay.
Now, you asked a question of our own co-brands, and, you know, a near in-line performance with last year, considering what happened in the first half, we consider that relatively speaking positive. We have seen a very, very fast recovery of Polaroid in particular in the second quarter, and have thus an exiting speed from the first half into the second half that is very high, and we see confirmations of that as we start the second half. So we are very confident on Polaroid, and the only thing you asked, what does it take for your own co-brands to grow? Well, Smith is growing and is growing very well. Polaroid, we need to be able to deliver, and everything else that we are supporting it with, the right product, the quality upgrades of the product, the campaigns, the design, all of it, it's all there. Now it's about delivering, because all the orders are coming in. So we're very positive on Polaroid for the rest of the year. On Carrera, I believe I mentioned in previous calls that this year was the year of stemming decline and driving the markets forward while stemming decline in the difficult markets. In total, it was a kind of a year of no return, if you want, given the product and the work we had been doing in cleaning out channels. We're seeing two things on Polaroid. One, which is very good, on Carrera, sorry. We're seeing one thing on Carrera, which is not our doing, it's the fashion trends. Fashion trends are moving towards big eyewear, 80s eyewear, bold eyewear, and there is no brand that is better positioned for that than Carrera, which we are seeing in editorial responses. And in our business, particularly in the lifestyle arena, editorial responses are the precursor of consumer demand. And what we're seeing is Carrera really climbing in that respect the charts. So we're seeing a very, very good outlook for Carrera. We have two markets where we are not there yet, and that's Italy and Spain, where also our historical work now to clean the channels, move out of different experimentations may take a bit longer. But this is the year of the new Carrera, as I said, when we started the year, and we feel confident that 360 things are now coming together, both us, clarity of design language, clarity of the way we're also driving the product with technical innovations, superb design, and at the same time the external market getting into that type of visuality. On Safilo, as I said, it was not the priority for the first half. We were getting ready for the launch. We are ready for the launch. It's going out with the fall-winter collection now, and we're very confident on that, with probably some of the very best product that Safilo technically and aesthetically is bringing in a high specialist segment, very demanding consumer optical segment. So, in that sense, on all the four brands, there is good momentum, and that's what it takes now, deliveries to drive them. I add on Oxido, which is very small but intended to be that way. This is an image builder of Safilo's capabilities that we have launched, and that is, you know, small but image building, as you can also see on the visuals that you might see in editorials or in our own material.
Okay, and then I take the last question. On the cost savings, so in terms of OPEX savings, we are focusing here on our overheads cost saving initiative, and we're on track to deliver the 10 million reduction that was planned for this year. In the first half, we did have to absorb some one-off costs. These are not now quoted as non-recurring, if you wish, but they are one-off costs related to the recovery of the back orders, because we had a need for some additional temporary labors to really absorb those peaks. We're talking about a couple of million euros here, which, of course, we now don't need anymore. And so in the second half year, we expect a more favorable profile. And in the end, we expect to bring home the 10 million that we outlined.
This 10 million adds to the 2.5 of last year that we announced, and therefore we are on track for the achievement of our 30 million program that we announced at the time. And very importantly, of course, the projects of that program are already being implemented so that they affect next year in terms of the year's savings. So we feel very good about those interventions. We also feel that, as we had announced at the time on the projects, they are sustainable. And then this year, there are some more one-offs that came in that we will now offset in the second half. So that is under control, and as you know, I think you had asked in the first quarter, it has proceeded normally in spite of the DC work that, of course, came on top.
Mm-hmm. Just a clarification, the 2 million that you mentioned as one-off cost, are they included in the one adjusted numbers or in the one-off non-recurring items?
No, they are including
the operating cost. Okay. And then if I may, I have a traditional question. One is related to Dior. You mentioned that he's suffering on tough comps. I'd like to understand the magnitude and the opportunity for reverting such a relevant license. And the last question is, well, we have been hearing about some comments about the retaliation of some clients due to the Luxottic Essilor combination, mostly on Essilor, obviously. But I wonder if you see any any opportunity on the market due to this situation, this particular situation?
Okay. Let me maybe comment on Dior. Dior is an extraordinary brand. It's a sizable business, as you know. And over the past years, if you go back from 2005 to 2017, has had from time to time extraordinary streaks of moments, peaks of growth due to very specific creative moments, and mathematically those have brought tremendous growth because they were always industry leading. And we have had such a moment over the past 2 years on Lady's Son. I don't need to mention the models, but also you know about them, from Surreal to Split to Abstract and to others. And this was something that started in during 2014 build up. 15 and 16 were the high moments. It is normal and to be expected that such incredible peaks are not sustained endlessly and may be followed by another wave that then starts, but through a moment of a relative, stagnation or decline temporarily as the new wave emerges. And we are going through that when we talk about the stellar comps base of last year and the translation into new creative avenues as is happening currently. So that's a fact. And that's underway. And the key opportunities right now within the Dior portfolio, as I was saying, are optical, which is a relatively underdeveloped part of Dior eyewear, and on the other side, Homme, which we have very, very deliberately been designing for more breadth of the collection over the past 6-12 months, and is now seeing a moment of growth that we had not seen in the past, and thus the opportunity also to distribute it slightly more broadly than what it is today as compared to Dior Ladies. So some of this is clearly cyclical, some of this is part of a transition of creative avenues, and that's what's underway in Dior. An extraordinary brand with tremendous advertising power and potential, and therefore something that for the mid and certainly midterm is not anything to be concerned about, but to be managed in its transition. On Essilor Luxottica, I trust you will permit me to comment that clearly this event has impact on our industry and on the market that we all need to see and observe, and it would not make much sense for me to comment any more at this particular point in time. But of course, we all need to understand more deeply as this evolves what exactly the impacts will be and what they mean.
Okay, thank you.
There appears to be no further questions in the queue, but as a reminder, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. There appears to be no further questions. I'd like to turn the call back to yourself for any additional or closing remarks.
Well, we want to thank you, in spite of the hot summer day, for having attended. Thank you very much, and we wish you a good August. Thank you for your interest.